much more than this. I did it my way. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew. But through it all.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Friday morning. So, look, I'm on the program here in about 30 minutes. State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion. And then at the bottom of the next hour, our senior United States Senator and gubernatorial candidate on a Republican ticket, Tommy Tuberville, will be with us. So stick around for that. But joining us now, always a pleasure. I believe we've had one in the past, but he's making time for us this morning. He's a state lawmaker from Montgomery, but he's also the lieutenant gubernatorial nominee for the Democrat Party. Philip Insler joins us. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. Yeah, great to be on and appreciate you having me on again. And look, I'll never forget, you had me on a few years ago after the October 7th attack, terrorist attack in Israel, and when there was a rise in anti-Semitism, you know, on college campuses and here in the States. And you reached out and had me on, and I really appreciate how supportive you were then and had the chance to talk about such an important issue.
Yeah, and thanks at the time. I know it was like a real sensitive time and people were kind of on edge, but, you know, I hopefully things have kind of settled down. We'll get into that in just a moment. First, I want to tell you about your candidacy here in case people are interested. Give us a little bit about your background and why are you running for this office?
Yeah, a few reasons. So by way of background, I've been in the legislature for the last 4 years. Representing a district here in Montgomery, and really proud to have worked, you know, well with Democrats and Republicans to get some meaningful stuff done. Things like expanding access to mental health services, things like cutting the tax on overtime pay, have really worked well with people in both the House and Senate. I'm attorney by background. I also lead, it's called the Jewish Federation of Central Alabama. But before all of that, taught public school in Montgomery for a few years and do a lot of work with our young people to help mentor and expose them to different opportunities. But now running for lieutenant governor. And look, let me, you know, just get to it and be really blunt. I know there was an article a few days ago in 1819 about from Joey Clark talking about, you know, that I'm running for this and assigning all sorts of ridiculous motives. And on a very personal level, I've shared this. My dad passed away a few years ago in New York. We were incredibly close and I had a hard time with his passing. A lot of his family, his relatives, cousins of mine, aunts, uncles, all live in New York, and in having a hard time with his passing, I had made the announcement last summer that I was gonna move there to be, you know, closer to them. But that decision really did not sit well with me. Alabama has become home. I love it here. I love serving here. I am absolutely committed to staying here and serving here. So that article by Joey, and let me say, I loved going on Joey's show. We've had great conversations over the years. I've been honored to represent him. He lives in my district. But I was really disappointed in a narrative being put out there that's just absolutely not true. I love Alabama and willing to and going to continue living here, serving here, fighting for the people.
Well, what, you know, and this is the kind of question I ask a lot of candidates coming on the show. You're out and about the state, presumably campaigning. What are you hearing? I mean, and especially as it pertains to the role of lieutenant governor, which seems to be, you know, over the last 20, 30 years, kind of a waning office as far as power goes. But you still have a say. You still have a bully pulpit there. What are some maybe objectives here you would hope to accomplish if elected?
Yeah, I've been to 42 counties and going to all 67, and I've been, you know, cities, rural areas, everywhere in between. And people are hurting financially. They are having a hard time paying their utility bills. People are having a hard time buying groceries, buying prescription drugs. So people are really looking for some relief, and people that are busting their butts, they're working so hard. You know, these are patriotic, you know, people that are doing everything they can, but it's just not enough to always pay the bills. So we have to do things like cut more taxes in the state. It's ridiculous that we still have a grocery tax. You have working class and middle class people that can and shouldn't be paying an income tax. We have this tax on overtime, so people that are working harder. And those are some of the main things. I mean, healthcare is a big one. Obviously, hospital closures and not having access to emergency services in a lot of these rural areas. And as Lieutenant Governor, I have great relationships in the Senate. I work really well with Senate President Garland Gudger in the House, work well with Speaker Ledbetter, work well with the budget chairs, Arthur Orr and Danny Garrett on the education side. So there are so many things that on not even on day one in January, but if elected in November, I would start working with them to where we have common ground. And obviously, as Lieutenant Governor, I couldn't introduce legislation myself, but I have great relationships with colleagues where I can work with them for them to introduce things that are going to provide relief, going to help put more money in people's pockets, that are going to help keep hospitals open, that are going to help make sure we have safe neighborhoods. And that's what I really intend to do as Lieutenant Governor.
It's interesting when you talk about it, and whenever I have Leader Daniels on, and you know, the Democrats in the state, a big part of the discussion when they come on this show, which, you know, I don't get as many Democrats, but that they talk about cutting taxes. And that's not historically necessarily a Democrat thing, but you find that to be kind of a reoccurring theme here, that you guys on the Democrat side, while in the super minority, y'all really kind of figured out that, like, that there seems to be some fruit on the vine here that could be harvested. And I find, Republicans, maybe they will pay lip service to it. They'll talk about tax relief, but really you guys, like, have really honed in on the grocery tax, on overtime tax. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer. It's something that it's not a Democrat or Republican issue. I mean, cutting taxes yes, we need some funds to pay for services and public safety and schools and hospitals, but for working and middle class Alabamians, I mean, they need tax relief, and they're hurting at the gas pump. You know, these tariffs are hurting our farmers. I travel a lot with Ron Sparks, the former and hopefully future ag commissioner, and we talk to farmers, and they're hurting from the tariffs. I know that they pay taxes on farm equipment, and that's hurting. So these are things that we want to help provide some economic relief, help people have more money in their pockets. And the tax cuts, it should be something where Democrats and Republicans come together. And as Lieutenant Governor, I'm going to fight really hard. And again, leverage those relationships I have to try to get some of those things through.
Well, can you, like, specifically start pinpointing, like, where would be some areas of tax relief? And obviously we mentioned overtime and grocery tax. Is there more there possibly?
Yeah. So the grocery tax has been, it is crazy that we still have that. And that is one that we should absolutely get rid of. And we can, and I wouldn't even say just start with that. I mean, we can get rid of the grocery tax. We should make it that the tax on overtime wages is completely exempt. I think that looking at reducing or eliminating the income tax for working and middle class people is absolutely something. And look, we have to do these in a fiscally responsible way where we still need to have the funding to pay for education, pay for healthcare, pay for police and roads and bridges. Another tax cut, though, I would say that sales tax on farm equipment, our farmers that are such a backbone of our state, we shouldn't be taxing them on equipment that they're buying to try to do their work. So those are a few places to start. But I think looking at all of it as a whole, makes a lot of sense. And I'll add in, one way, because I often get asked, well, if we cut taxes, how do you deal with the missing revenue?
Right.
I've been a staunch advocate for a lottery, and I proposed last session a lottery bill that it should go to the voters have a say. And if the people of Alabama want a lottery, let them vote on it. And we're missing out on hundreds of millions of dollars. And the reality is people are going to all of the surrounding states, and we're just missing out on money right here. So we should cut taxes, but also give the people a chance to vote on a lottery and potentially bring in some revenue that way.
Well, how do you do this? Now, there's a constitutional prohibition on gambling or games of chance, I think, as it says in the Constitution. You change that, it opens the door for a lottery, but all these other forms of gambling. And then, the one that really, the possibility of sports betting, The proliferation of that, everybody with their cell phones, or, you know, casino gambling, to, you know, seeing that showing up in people's neighborhoods who may not want that. That seems to be like really the lottery does really well when you pull it. It's these other forms of gambling that are going to kind of like hitch their wagon to that. Is that part of the plan too?
So I think that we should have a, and this is why I propose what a clean lottery bill. So a lottery bill that is just focused on completely that. I do support other gaming and gambling options. It is happening in our state. It's just that it is happening secretly and then arguably illegally at this point. So to have a more legalized and transparent system where one, the state can collect some tax revenue on that, but also bring it out of the shadows. So, and I understand that there are concerns if people don't want that in their area. And I think that that's where, you know, having some local say right now, city councils and county commissions in the state have so little input or a lack of input because a lot is controlled by the state. So I think looking at giving more local input and that also ties into the data center issue. It makes me think of that you have a lot of people that don't want data centers in their communities. I've been in Lowndes County quite a bit. I know in North Mobile County and in the Mount Vernon area that they're very concerned about one there. And I think that something the lieutenant governor can do is advocate for more local control where county commissions have more say on zoning and what happens and what comes into communities. So as far as, you know, gaming and those operations and casinos, I don't think we should, you know, just blanket the state and put them everywhere. But we should give people on a local level some input on it and be really thoughtful about how we do it. But at the end of the day, you know, gaming and gambling is happening and we need to bring it out of the shadows.
Joined by State Representative Philip Insler. He is a Democratic nominee for Lieutenant Governor here in Alabama. We talked about this, the lead here, the October 7th attacks. And I, you know, there was a tangible sort of anti-Semitism. And I don't know, it's necessarily as much of it in Alabama as there are in other places. It seems like it's maybe, you know, I'm personally not, you know, aware of it, but maybe there's still these sort of waves of it going around. But do you feel like that's settling down? Like where do you think things are on that topic?
Yeah, I really appreciate you asking that. And anti-Semitism is everywhere. It is in the United States. It's in every state. It's all throughout the world, but it has not been nearly as bad in Alabama as it has been in other parts of the U.S. And I'm really grateful for that. And I contribute a lot of that to the people of Alabama. And, you know, overwhelmingly, people in our state are supportive of the Jewish community. They have been very understanding and have reached out after the October 7th terrorist attacks in Israel. So I there was that wave on college campuses, especially and throughout the country for a couple of years. It is not as bad as it was, but we absolutely have to be vigilant about it. And I'm very clear whether it's anti-Semitism from the far right, from the far left, from whoever it is, it's wrong and we have to condemn it. And there's absolutely no place from it in either party or anywhere in our world or country.
What do you think it's, you know, someone seems to me it's kind of generated by foreign policy, what's going on in the Middle East. And, you know, right now it's a hot spot. But there seems to be, you know, I've been traveling a bit over the last couple of years around the country. And you do see these protests, you know, anti-Israel protests where they're potentially conflating Jewish Americans with Israel. But, you know, that aside, it seems like a lot of this is kind of spurred on by what's going on in the Middle East.
Yeah. And look, as someone running for lieutenant governor, I am super focused on the issues in our state and what would be within my control as lieutenant governor. Obviously, lieutenant governor has no role in foreign policy. But to your point that, yeah, there are protests that do stem from what's happening overseas. And I think right here in Alabama, you know, the things that I'm really proud of and that we can continue to do. I serve on the Alabama Holocaust Commission with David Faulkner and Danny Garrett and Jabbo Wagner from the legislature. and doing things like teaching Holocaust education and focusing on how do we combat anti-Semitism. But look, people should be able to criticize government here in the States. They should be able to criticize foreign government. It just shouldn't cross the line to conflating it with a people and targeting Jewish people as a whole because of their disagreements with the decisions of a foreign government.
Well, and I guess this will be the final question on this. We'll wrap it up here. But do you think I don't know that there's necessarily there's an awareness of the plight of the Jewish people. I mean, yes, we talk a lot about the Holocaust. And World War II, even in my lifetime, it's becoming kind of a distant memory. But there's a historical legacy here that has to be acknowledged. And I just wonder if, you know, people are necessarily aware of that. And maybe that has something to do with it. And that needs to be kind of part of the education, you know, and you're a teacher. Do these conversations come up enough, you think, in our education system?
Yeah, so the state adopted some of the strongest in the country Holocaust education standards. And I really applaud the State Board of Education and Dr. Mackey and so many others that, were a part of that. And that will help tremendously. And look, educating people on true history and on facts for certainly the Holocaust and Jewish people, but for any part of history, that I think makes people more open-minded and more accepting of people when they know that history. And it's so important we teach it. Again, I'm really proud and grateful that the state has a strong Holocaust Commission, and what I think we need to continue to do is, in general, strengthen our public schools, make sure that we're giving teachers a pay raise and our retirees are having a hard time. So all around having a strong education system, will help when it comes to our young people and future generations knowing everything they need to know.
Representative Folks, want to find out more about your candidacy, your campaign, or any of that, how can they do so?
They can go to my website. It's philipensler.com. So PHILLIPENSLER. And look, I'll wrap up, again by saying this. And I appreciate Jeff you having me on. Look forward to hopefully coming on again. And people in Alabama are having a tough time. We have an amazing state. We have a lot of great things happening. People are hurting financially, though, and we need to do everything we can. As Lieutenant Governor, I'm going to keep fighting for all people, make sure that we're providing some economic relief, making sure that we're fighting to keep hospitals open. And I'll be very clear, the Lieutenant Governor cannot single-handedly do any of those things, but I have those really great relationships in the legislature already, Republicans and Democrats, and I'm going to be ready on day one to do everything we need to advocate for and try to do for the people.
Representative, we appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Jeff. Everyone have a great, safe weekend.
Take care. All right. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Eat the girl so far.